Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, what is happening? Today is Monday, July 15th, so it is time to talk to both Johnny Dell and, of course, John Chapman. What up, Mr. Chapman? Real quick, off the gate, man, tell us again how we can find you. We're going to do that throughout the show because, dude, you have such great content. If people are watching us and have not seen your stuff, that is a sin, and that needs to be rectified. So please, right off the bat, John, how's it going, man? And give us all your details where we can find you.
Man, Adam, appreciate the kind words. 49ers Rush, wherever you watch and or listen or engage in 49ers content, we're all over the place. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. But yeah, just 49ers Rush or type in John Chapman. We should pull up. And man, excited to be here with you two gentlemen. This is going to be fun. I think this is the third or fourth installment of this whole shindig.
This is the third. This is part three. I forgot to put it on the show thumbnail there. Part three of what we thought was going to be a single show, and there was just too much meat on the bone. We had to keep gnawing and keep going, and it's been a fantastic time. John, your channel, your folks are popping in the chat. It's great to see. Love it. You got such a great community. Love the community that you put together of 49ers fans. I mean, it's just fantastic. You do such a great job. And if somehow somebody knows my channel and doesn't know yours, which might be impossible in the Venn diagram, like, right? That just may be impossible.
Venn
like,
diagram,
it is. It's almost a full solar eclipse, I think, at this point.
Of my heart, heart it is.
Oh my goodness. That was impressive. That was quick.
I just woke up, but I'm feeling it, man.
After this weekend, we're not making any joke or comments about things. I was about to say you're quick on the trigger, but I was like, nope, can't do that. Not going to say these things now. Yeah. We're not doing it. Hey, some people like handle different things in the world differently. For me, it's usually humor.
Same.
And everything. Same. So like, it runs in the family. I don't know if it does with you, John. You know, you say the same. I remember after Michael Jackson's passing, my dad was making some really inappropriate jokes about that whole thing.
Everybody's got their way to cope. That's kind of what we were too. And you know, it's everybody does their own thing and to each their own. But no judgment zone. That's usually where we fly, and nothing's ever off limits in the Chapman family. Those are the rules.
Yeah, like that was the family I grew up in. You had to have at least a little bit of thick skin, and you know, just don't get too easily offended over morbid jokes. So that's the way we were.
Dr. Steve's got jokes.
There we go.
Dr. Steve's got jokes. who's this John Chapman guy?
Which John? So tell us a little bit. Honestly, I'm being selfish and I'm interested, but many of our Niner faithful are interested. John, tell us a little bit about Niners Rush and what you're excited about this year. Yes. And how people can kind of get involved, because John Chapman, I have an announcement for you. I am coming from Indiana to Monday Night Football against the Jets. I'm flying in, man.
That's gonna be awesome.
We have to link, like we'll talk, but so I'm selfishly asking, but of course the rest of the Niner faithful want to know. Tell us a little bit before we get into the drafts and all that. We'll do that next. And but tell us about Niners Rush and what you got going on.
49ers Rush road trip. We started this about, man, right before COVID, we started organizing these get-togethers where we could just get healthy space, healthy places on all these road trips for Niners fans to get together, and it's kind of expanded. So if you go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, we do night before parties, we do tailgate parties, all you can eat and drink, everything's kid-friendly that we do, and we've got a ridiculous amount of events up on there. So if you're traveling to a game, and it all started because I would go to these games by myself, and, you know, my personality, I'm whatever, I'm a jackass, so I'm going to walk up and meet a lot of people, but I understand not everybody fits that whatever.
So I fit that whatever.
There we go. So we created, hopefully, a space for people just to get together on these road trips and wherever else to get together. And, yeah, 40 Hours Rush Road Trip. Go check it out. We've got early bird pricing on all these different events that we're doing. Excited. We're in the back stages of working with players to get to these events, former players, so they could do, like, autographs and meet and greets and stuff. So, yeah, go check it out. 40 Hours Rush Road Trip. And Adam first drinks on me. That's my rule with everybody. And then after that, we'll see what happens. So,
yes, love it. I was so mad at you, bro, for not being in Cleveland.
I fit in there. I went to Seattle last year. It was absolutely phenomenal. My wife came with me. We had such a great time, met some great people there, other content creators there, linked up, and just being with the, you know, when you're with a group of fellow 49ers fans, I mean, that's a great thing. Like there's a lot of, this sounds so cliche to say there's a lot of love in the room, but there really is. Like there's something, and it's what we love about sports. Like it just, not to sound too esoteric here, but it's what we love about sports is that it's a group of human beings who have a common cause, and, you know, we're rooting on our team and we all want the same thing and we all enjoy watching the same thing. And to be together, it's like, what I love about it is we are in such a divided world in so many ways, and we're split up in so many ways. I don't care what somebody's political affiliations are in that room. I don't care what their background is. I don't care what their beliefs in the rest of the world. We are all 49ers fans in there, and that gives us a chance to have something in common and a shared thing. And so you meet people that you would never meet any other time, and you're like, you know what? They're pretty cool, dude. They're pretty cool. And I love that. And so, So I just absolutely love what you do there. We had a blast at the road trip. I would say anybody who is going to be in anywhere close proximity to where you're doing a rush road trip, be there. It is totally worth it.
Man, I love it. And the one thing I just want to piggyback on, like, we focus on what brings people together, not what separates. And, you know, our show, your show, it's about education and community and positivity. And, like, yeah, we criticize, but, like, we're not tearing down people and calling for people to be fired. And, like, what brings us together, what unifies us, is way greater than the small things that divide us. And I know, like, entertainment news and stuff wants to focus on all the other stuff, but that's not real. That's just not reality. So don't buy into that. We're a lot closer than everybody thinks. So I, well said, Johnny.
Yeah. And that's what I've always really appreciated about your content is that you don't push the negative engagement, that, you know, that's a cheap road to get in there. It's easy to rile people up, get people mad and drive engagement that way. We have too much of that in general. And so I've always loved that about your content. That is not, you're not pushing the negative engagement. You're a 49ers fan, but you also love, you know, being real about the 49ers and talking about them. You have not, you know, always given them their flowers over everything. You've
not going to today either.
Right. And you've given them some harsh criticism when it's been due, and love that. And it's just real what it is. It's not, you're not like when you've been hard on the team, it hasn't been negative for negative sake. Like it starts to feel like a tired shtick with some folks of like, you just are constantly pushing something negative. Like, and you cannot be a fan and sit there and then come off of like the Lions win last year and be like, well, yeah, I don't know. and everything like that kind of stuff drove me nuts. So I've always appreciated that with you, John. And thanks for that. And thanks for coming on and talking with us through a couple drafts we're going to have some tough, tough things coming on these drafts.
Let's get into it.
I think we're up to 2022, right?
We are. We are on the 2022 draft. So we'll start out going through the draft picks and then see what the national media's grades were. And then we're going to be coming back now with the benefit of hindsight and some time to give a little bit of what we think an accurate grade is. And what originally started me on this kind of series was looking at this draft coming off of it of 2024 and the immediate reaction of all of us. I did it. You did it. You know, everybody does it, is grade the draft. And we give our opinions, but I think the older I've gotten, the more I've come to of, you know, we need to wait about 3 years, 2 years to really grade a draft well. And we really saw that in the reactions to the 2017, 2018 drafts. 2017 was seen as a home run by almost everybody. And we came away going, well, it was a horrible draft, except one player, George Kittle. It was a big bag of garbage and George Kittle. And then the next draft, though, or the 2018 was very similar. It was a big bag of garbage and Fred Warner. And that was another one that was widely seen as a just home run, a draft. Everybody's great that they drafted. And then 2019 was like, well, it was okay, but that was their best draft by a mile. You know, so it's fascinating to see these things in hindsight. So we'll dive into this. This is the 2022 NFL draft. Now, here's what we need to decide. And chat, you're going to have to help us out with this. Do we include two players that they spent draft capital from this draft on, but were not draftees of this draft? Like, so what I mean by that is the 49ers did not have a first round pick in the 2022 draft because they had sent that pick off to go get Trey Lance. So does Trey Lance count into this draft? Because the first round pick is gone for Trey Lance. That's an interesting question. Then the other thing is the 2023 draft. Does Christian McCaffrey count in that draft? Because there was multiple picks in that draft that went for Christian McCaffrey, including a second rounder. So what do you think, John? Do we include Trey Lance in 2022? McCaffrey in 2023?
I think you have to, because each team starts off with a capital 1 through 7 rounds. Mm-hmm. You have these 7 picks. And so whatever we're grading, you got to grade the whole scale. Now, one's going to grade out really positive. One's going to grade out really negative. And shout out to Johnny Dell. I remember him messaging me saying, I think we should trade for Christian McCaffrey. And I think I said no. I was like, yeah, probably too pricey.
That's what you said. You were like, man, I just don't know if they could afford the cost of CMC. And I was like, bro, just think of what he would do in this offense.
You were right. This is example number 57 of Johnny Dell over John Chapman. And we're just going to keep that record going. But yeah, I think I want to include the Trey Lance trade and the Christian McCaffrey trade, because you don't get either of those two players without the draft capital. So I think that it's not as easy to carry over with the Trey Lance counting all those years and whatever else. But I think we should play that way. I think it'll help.
Plus, I agree with Dr. Steve. Yeah, I agree with Dr. Steve, who agrees with you. I like the way I love the way you're thinking. I like the way you're looking at it of it's the totality of draft capital. How do you utilize your draft capital? Because that's really what the draft is, right? It's how are you utilizing the finite amount of resources you have? And it's really the most valuable resources that any NFL team has is their draft capital. So how do you truly use that? So we'll start out then, I guess, round one, pick one, which would have been the 31st pick in that year's draft. 30th pick in that year's draft, because they came just short. But 30th pick in that year's draft would have been Trey Lance. And after I run through these, I'm going to go look at and see who the 30th pick was. I got to remember who that 30th pick was.
George Karloftis III.
Of course. That's it was.
Boy, missed out on that dude.
Yeah.
Running back in the second round, pick number 61 was Drake Jackson, defensive end out of USC. Round three, pick 93 was Ty Davis Price out of LSU. Round three, pick 105, so just 12 spots later, was wide receiver Danny Gray out of SMU. Round four, pick 134 with Spencer Burford. We can't even get through the list. Round five, pick 172 with Samuel Womack out of Toledo. Round six, pick 187 was Nick Zakel from Fordham. Round six, pick 220 was defensive lineman Kalia Davis out of UCF. Round six, pick 221. The next pick, they had back-to-back picks in the sixth round, was Tariq Castro-Fields out of Penn State, defensive back. Round seven, pick 262 out of Iowa State, Mr. Irrelevant that year, the Brock Purdy. So, what did John Lynch say after this draft, first and foremost? He says, when I think about this draft, I think about explosive, dynamic, fast players. I also think there's an element of toughness to each and every guy that we drafted. A bunch of contagiously competitive guys. Guys we look for that I really think fit the program and provide an already good roster and opportunity to get better. So how did the national media grade this? Sportingnews.com says they gave the 49ers an A. 49ers needed some pass rush versatility behind Nick Bosa, and this is a good first pick from this class that aligns with that value. Drake Jackson is a good fit in their scheme and his ability. Sports Illustrated gave 49ers a B. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers scouting department must have some kind of bat signal every time an athletic wide receiver catches a ball in a drag route with a head of steam and gains an unreasonably large amount of yards after the catch. Such a signal must have blinked wildly several times last year on Danny Gray. Jackson was a worthwhile swing at the edge rusher position, which the 49ers desperately need to start replenishing if they want to run the kind of defense that brought them into the Super Bowl. Jackson wins in a variety of ways, and given that he didn't lean on one particular mode of getting to the quarterback, he should arrive at the next level as a fertile mind for a set of good defensive coaches. Pro Football Focus, PFF, gave them a B. Day two, Drake Jackson is a phenomenal value at number 61 overall for San Francisco. He uses his hands really well and has great bend for the position. Even though he's 6'3", 273 pounds, Jackson is much more of a finesse rusher who lacks any sort of power move. If he develops some counters to his speed rushes, he can be a fantastic pass rusher for the 49ers. Danny Gray's hands are awful, but everything else about him is pretty fantastic. He's a legit separator with deep speed. San Francisco knows what they're doing when evaluating the wide receiver position. This is one of the best picks of round three.
One catch. One catch.
Hey, in preseason, man, that one play was like...
Day three, Spencer Burford is a bit undersized at 6'4", 304 pounds, but his nearly 35-inch arms help in that regard. Burford started the first two seasons of his college career at left guard before kicking out to left tackle. His grading profile at UTSA leaves something to be desired, but Burford is coming off a career-high 76.8 PFF grade in 2021. He fills a need for the 49ers, who need to add some depth up front. The Ringer, B-. The 49ers put together my all-intriguing class of this draft, missing a first-rounder thanks to the trade for Trey Lance in 2021. San Francisco's first pick was number 61, which they used to select USC pass rusher Drake Jackson. Jackson's a high-upside pass rusher with excellent movement skills and athletic traits, but he still needs to develop a better repertoire of moves and figure out what weight he wants to play at. I love the Niners' selection of LSU running back Ty Davis-Price, who can serve as an excellent complement to Elijah Mitchell and help Kyle Shanahan convince Debo Samuel he won't be a running back anymore. I'm looking forward to watching SMU receiver Danny Gray in action, too. Gray fits this offense like a glove, boasting excellent run after the catch speed and elusiveness in the open field. And if ESPN, B-. I think they've given the 49ers a B- every year. Like, literally, it is the safest grade. They're just like B- every year because you're not going to be that far off either way. But they said the 49ers' first-round pick was dealt away in their trade-up for Trey Lance last year, so they began their class on day two with edge rusher Drake Jackson, who could be an early contributor. I thought he might have a breakout 2021 season, but he had just five sacks. If you can put it all together, this could be a pick we talk about as a steal a few years down the road. Ty Davis-Price went a couple rounds earlier than I thought. He is my 13th-ranked running back, and there were several better backs available before the day three run on them got underway. Wide receiver Danny Gray is lightning after the catch, while Kalia Davis is a physical interior defensive lineman against the run. Davis is recovering from an injury, or else he probably would have gone at least a round higher. Jackson has a high ceiling, but San Francisco reached a little too much for my liking with his picks. NFL.com, B-. It won't be clear whether trading a first round for pick for Trey Lance was the right move until we see him on the field. The Niners did a nice job picking up Jackson in the second round, but whether grabbing Davis Price and Gray in the third was a good value is a question to be answered over the next couple seasons, one we're about to answer. Burford and Zakel added depth on the defense on the offensive line, both able to play inside or outside. I love Womack's competitiveness. He'll be a nice slot corner. The quick Davis and cover man Castro Fields will contribute as rookies and outperform their draft status. The Niners eschewed other needs to pick Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant. The former Cyclone passer could be a longtime backup in the league with his tools and competitive nature. Yahoo Sports, C+.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's more you against the numbers. You pick more or less on 2 to 6 players, stat projections, and you watch the winnings roll in. You can turn $10 into $1,000, 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks is also available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. My favorite category currently is the NFL season picks. You want to pick more or less on receptions on the season? Christian McCaffrey, 61.5 receptions, more or less. Deebo Samuel, 60.5 receptions, more or less. George Kittle, 60.5. Pass yards, receiving yards, sacks, interceptions, all those things from the season, you just pick more or less and you're good. So, download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers for a deposit match up to $100. The code 49ERS 49ers on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea. You want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on our full line sale of delicious fresh Tyson chicken with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.67 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The draft always seems to have a beauty in the eye of beholder quality to them, and later round hits such as Mitchell, George Kittle, DJ Jones, Dre Greenlaw, and others prove that they deserve some benefit of the doubt. But with part of the value of this draft tied to Trey Lance's future performance, it's truly difficult to issue a grade here in ink and feel great about it. Price, Burford, and Castro Fields were our favorite later picks of theirs, but we can't get too excited about Davis Price or Zakel, who looked overmatched at times in the Senior Bowl. So that is what the national media tended to say. Very little talked about Brock Purdy, obviously, for Mr. Irrelevant. And what's fascinating, people almost universally really liked Drake Jackson, Danny Gray.
And neither one of them have really contributed at any level. You know, so much stock was put into Drake Jackson, and I loved that pick. I was hoping we were going to trade up for him. I remember it was him and Nick Benito that were still on the board. Those edge rushers out of Nick Benito out of Oklahoma. And I wanted Drake Jackson. I think Wayne wanted Nick Benito. Neither one of them have really panned out too much. But outside of that one game for Drake Jackson, he's been absolutely terrible. I mean, more negative tape than positive tape.
The Steelers, right? The one game.
Week one last year. That was it.
And even that Steelers game, you know, I know you watched the film. I was sitting there going, most of those were cleanup sacks. It was three cleanup sacks.
Yeah.
I remember coming off that game, everyone was like, we found our edge rusher next to Nick Bosa. And I was like, hold on. I didn't see him winning. I saw him getting cleanup sacks. I saw him getting the benefit of Javon Hargrave and Nick Bosa winning. And he was getting the cleanup sacks. But
they were
right.
Kenny Pickett special. He kind of, he and like, here you go. Here's some sacks.
Yeah. Look where he's at now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I just don't see, anybody there that was like, you know, or anything with Drake Jackson's made me go, yes. Now he's somehow been able to bat an unreasonably amount of balls down at the line of scrimmage for his snap count. But he, I think the one guy who said he didn't really have any power rush moves, I think that's been his biggest thing. And that's what we've seen. And that was what really showed up his rookie year, right? Kyle Shanahan talked about that. He just fell off the map at the end of the season last year, or his rookie year, was getting a bunch of snaps. And then at the end of the season, just disappeared, didn't see the field. And they said his body gave out. He was not strong enough to handle the rigors of an NFL season, and we still have yet to see that come to fruition.
And he's still not practicing. He missed all of OTAs and minicamp. And it's like, man, if this guy is going to contribute, he's got to get football reps against quality football players. And the way you do that is training camp and minicamp. And he's already missed one of those. So we'll see. Talk about Danny Gray, one catch. And that's another thing. This is a Trey Lance pick. He was drafted to pair with Trey Lance in that rocket arm. Like, that was the whole idea. Yeah. And when Trey Lance fell out, Danny Gray's just sitting there just like doing the Nick Bosa shrug. Where do I go? I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do. Like,
well, I feel like Shanahan has always been trying to get his Santana Moss. So if back in Washington, when he was there with his dad, they had Santana Moss. And even though Santana was in his later years, he was still like a 4.35 guy. Mm-hmm. And that was his thing. If you look at his build and his measurables coming out of college, Danny Gray, you know, is very, very similar to Santana.
Marquise
Goodwin, same thing. Like, he's always wanted that guy that smaller guy who you can put inside and just take the top off that middle safety, is threaten that middle safety really quickly. And that Marquise Goodwin, Santana Moss,
Jacob Cowing
this year, Danny Gray. Like, that is a player type that Shanahan has had his entire career as a play caller. And he values that, again, of how quickly can you threaten that middle safety. So I feel like he was meant to fit that role. And there was something they saw in it, because what the 49ers do is they pick role players. That's really when you look at what they do, they have a role in mind for somebody. And Danny Gray's role was that, and he just never lived up to that. The route running was terrible, terrible. I remember watching, it was the Panthers game that when Jimmy G was out there. I remember it was that game. First time we ran that, it was that post and a dig. And Jimmy nearly threw a pick trying to get it to Debo because that safety was flat footed, right? So the safety was flat footed, drove on the dig route coming in. They're running a post with Ayuk behind it, and he didn't respect the post route. It was Jimmy. He rarely threw that post route, and he just predetermined that throw so many times. This is, you know, kind of what Devontae Adams was maybe talking about a little bit. But he throws it in there, nearly gets picked. So what do they do? They come back like 12 plays later, and they put Danny Gray in that spot. So they're like, we're going to get speed on the field. And it was like, Jimmy, you are going to throw the post route this time. That safety sitting. And so we run the same play, dig route, post coming around. Danny Gray's running that post. It was the laziest, most set, like predictable post that you may have ever seen, because Jimmy threw the ball and the corner ran the route for Danny Gray. He never turned his hips, never threatened his outside shoulder. I mean, we talked about it on this show when that happened. I remember watching that. I was like, his route running and his understanding of I can't just run past somebody leaves so much to be desired right now. And I remember there was another one. It was like he ran a corner route, cover two, never threatened the safety inside. And so the safety just jumped on the corner route. It was there. And, you know, you're going with your speed, you should have been wide freaking open. And he wasn't. And that was that. It was those moments. I remember people were saying, you know, Danny Gray's not getting reps just because Jimmy's in there. And I was like, I think he's not getting reps because he can't run routes, because his options there, he's ran horrible routes. And I remember preseason. I think, you know, you've gone over the preseason games. I remember his run blocking in preseason left much to be desired,
especially his rookie year, big time.
Yeah. And that's something that is huge with the 49ers.
That didn't show at SMU. He was feisty.
Right. And I think that's why they liked him. They thought he was a feisty run blocker who could threaten that middle safety. These are things we really like. And if we can get him the ball in space, he's gone. Home run hitter. Just never worked out at all. So, I mean, the top two guys out of that draft, Drake Jackson, Danny Gray.
The one thing I want to say about Danny Gray before we move on is, you know, I was at all the training camp practices last year. He was putting on a show. Like, was he amazing or anything like that? No, but consistent catches and team, you know, 11 on 11. He was by far one of the top punt returners when Ray Ray got injured. He was showing that he belonged, and he was playing that behind the Aiyuk spot. Like, he was the backup X. And then whenever he got injured in that one, he played one snap. The kickoff return where he got tackled out of bounds in the first preseason game, that's when they shifted Ronnie Bell over, and they kind of like, whatever, Ronnie Bell seized the opportunity, credit to him, and he just made he made Danny Gray expendable. Now, I am curious how they're going to grade this moving forward. And this is, you know, Johnny, I want your opinion. I'm going to go a little off topic here. But, like, how would you stack the backup wide receivers? Where are you lining them up? Because I've been going crazy. Like, I want Jacob Cowing to be my backup X. I want, you know, our first rounder Ricky Pearsall to be the backup Z behind Debo, and I want Ronnie Bell in the slot. That's my, like, twofold. So I'm curious, Johnny, you know more about tape than I do. Like, how would you stack as far as just what's best for these young pups to get snaps at?
Well, so I think that's a very
I put him on the spot. I did not warn him.
It's a multivariate answer to me. So I think there's two sides here. What do I think is best for the 49ers, and what do I think is best for the players to get snaps? Because I don't think those align. I think the best thing for players to get snaps, Danny Gray as your backup X. So he's your guy sitting behind Brandon Aiyuk. I think what I've seen from him, I don't like him in the slot. I think he's somebody who you need him to really threaten that outside corner and to take advantage of a corner having to have so much cushion off of him. He's what I've noticed. He's not a guy that's going to be able to sink his hips, change direction, and explode out and set up his routes. So he's got to be on the outside to me, get that 8-yard cushion against a cover three guy, or make a team scared to come play bump against him because he'll run by him. And now you have no safety help. That's where I think Danny Gray can have the more reps. And I do think that if he was to be with the 49ers past training camp, that's his best value add for the 49ers. Ricky Pearsall, I would like to see him really grab that slot position. And the reason why is because I think he brings what they wanted in one sense from Danny Gray, in that you get a premier route runner who also has some speed and is able to provide you a legitimate every way threat from the slot. I love Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is a dog. Juwan Jennings is a you know, one of the toughest players on this roster. But what I don't like about Juwan Jennings is he doesn't bring enough speed down those hashes. So you really need speed down the seam in this offense to further extend certain things. Some of those plays that Juwan Jennings was making because of his big, huge catch radius, you don't have to make with a huge, big catch radius if you have bring a speed element to the game. You get Deebo Samuel more open. You get Brandon Ayuk more open when you can threaten that middle safety, when you can run the mic off better, when you can tell the when you can force a team that if Pearsall is in the slot, you can't run bump because they're just going to run Haas on you and Pearsall's gone. It's a touchdown. You know, Juwan Jennings caught one, wasn't a touchdown. Ayuk, when he was in the slot on that Haas, which is, you know, an old air raid, hitches outside, seams. That's that curl on the outside with a fade route from the slot. Brandon Ayuk had a 70-yard touchdown pass on that play. You know, you have to be able to hit that with more than just Brandon Ayuk. You put Ricky Pearsall in that slot, you got a home run hitter there.
And he's
you
played predominantly slot his entire
And he's played
career.
Predominantly slot. I think he gives you the ability to separate versus man coverage that Juwan Jennings brings, but he brings more speed to that. So I would like to see him then move between slot and Z, be that kind of rotational guy. Get him on, keep him on the field as much as you can, keep Deebo fresh. And when he's not in the slot, that's where Jacob Cowing comes in. I think you're going to have a really interesting place of where does Juwan Jennings fit in this rotation? Because Jacob Cowing, again, talking about that Santana Moss role, a guy that you can put in the slot who can, again, threaten that vertical, that middle safety from that slot position. That's where I think. So Juwan Jennings is the guy that maybe be the odd guy out, or maybe we say, hey, you're going to be a rotational guy in Z. You're no longer a slot guy.
That looked rough last year, though, whenever he filled in for Deebo.
It did,
but
I
Kyle forgot. I feel like that's a little different. Don't I mean, right?
That running attempt. Yeah, that was awesome,
dude. Yeah, he was like, oh crap, I forgot to not have Deebo in the backfield.
It's
on that
different
play.
If it's game planned for. Right? One would think.
Yeah, and
call
and
me so, crazy, but
like I think that's to me how it shakes out better. I think you know maybe if you were looking at what maybe would be best. As far as reps and their development is keep Danny Gray where he's been is let him keep, you know, in that slot area and not have to do something else. But that's kind of, that's, you know, I guess if that's the long road around answer to your question, I think it'll be really interesting. And then also see where Tariq Owens fits in with this whole thing. I think he's intriguing just because of his lineage. And you know, is he able to be a backup X? We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, you just going through everything. I feel like that gives Danny Gray a spot, which is why I asked that. Like, there seems to be a clearly defined backup, you know, X role for Danny Gray as the number two.
Like, yeah, if he can solidify that route running. Yeah, if he can solidify that route running, if he can solidify that run blocking, there's a role that is there for him to take. Will he take that this season? That's the question with Danny Gray. I think if you had asked me this 3 months ago, I would say Danny Gray does not make the team come September. Like, he is off the team. I think right now, where I'm thinking about where the team is and kind of the structure of everybody's, you know, roles, I think there's a spot there for him, but he's going to have to elevate beyond Juwan Jennings. He has to make Juwan Jennings expendable in some way. He has to make Jacob Cowing expendable in some way,
or win the punt return role.
Yeah, or win the punt return role and be both. He's got a tall task because he's got to be the sixth wide receiver. You know, generally we've kept six guys. So who does he push out? Is it Ronnie Bell? It's got to be Ronnie Bell, Tariq Owens, Juwan Jennings. He's got to push those guys out, or push Jacob Cowing out. You know, somehow. Yeah. So I think this
he
will
hasn't
be
practiced
one of the,
either.
Yeah, I think this will be one of the most competitive wide receiver camps that we've had.
And I don't know who's safe because Ronnie Bell filled in that backup X role last year. I don't think that's his best spot. Definitely tailored off during the year. But yeah, I mean, Cowing's going to make this roster, whether it's Cameron Lawtu, Pup, whatever created, or he's going to be around. But you're talking Danny Gray, you know, Ronnie Bell, Trent Taylor, all those guys. Like,
oh, and Trent Taylor, dude. I forgot.
Yeah, it's going to be Trent Taylor, the is he going to return punts? Jimmy G's favorite guy.
Is he going to return punts?
I could see him doing that Willie Snead role where he doesn't make the 53, but he gets elevated early, something along those lines. But
yeah,
somebody else might snag him if they have an injury. So,
and so will he take on the Willie Snead role of then criticizing the 49ers for
Trent Taylor would never, never, never.
We had to go there. We had to go there. So I, you know, the other guy that we haven't talked about in here is Ty Davis Price. A guy that seemed to be on the outside looking in from the running back position. I know you've really liked a lot of things about Ty Davis Price over the years. How do you feel about TDP right now?
Well, I mean, shoot, he's playing with the Eagles, and so that's fun. Well,
yeah.
It's you wanted this bigger back, this stronger back. Again, this was a Trey Lance pick. We're going with bigger old linemen. We're going with downfield speed, and we're going with hardcore punishing running backs. And you got it, just not Ty Davis Price. You got it. You're undrafted free agent. Jordan Mason,
right?
And so it's the, you know, the SAT like analogy. Brock Purdy is to Trey Lance as Jordan Mason is to whom, right? Ty Davis Price, like you got it. Yeah. You just it wasn't who you thought it would be.
Yeah, you know, I think you really nailed that. TDP was he was meant to be that big bruising back that would punish safeties if they were the guy who was accounting for the C gap. On those zone reads, you know, like that's what he was meant to be. A real tough, you know, Kyle Shanahan's Alfred Morris, right? Alfred Morris was a bigger bodied downhill runner, which he brought back for a little bit of time with the 49ers. That I think was somebody that fit really well with the offense they were envisioning with this really zone read heavy sort of thing and baking that option into the cake. And it comes from a lineage of a place that has tough running backs, guys who run hard, LSU. I mean, there's a lot of running backs that have come out of LSU that run hard. They run behind their pads. It's just the way they do it down in LSU. I think when you look over, you know, the first four rounds of draft capital that they had, boy, this is not smelling good. You know,
it's really,
it's
really
a whole
bad.
Lot of non-contribution is the biggest thing.
And then you even look at like Brian Robinson Jr. went right afterwards. Damian Pierce, Zamir White, like a lot of good running backs went right after this. Jerome Ford, Kyron Williams, Tyler Batty. I mean, there are some Isaiah Pacheco, like peppered. And this
Kecko
is a
went after. Head, yeah.
This is a Shanahan staple. Man. You know, he
this,
finds
this
his
is
guys
what we,
in love
yeah.
with.
This is what we always talk about. Do not draft a running back in the third round. Don't do it.
So, John, I'm curious, then, Johnny gave the grades from ESPN, blah, 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 for during that time when it came out. Mm-hmm. When, what was your grade of the 22 draft in 2022? Hindsight is 2020 all day long.
I think I was a B+, because I loved the Drake Jackson fit. I thought Danny Gray would pair with, you know, Lance, you know, everything was about making Lance work. So I liked that. And I really liked the Kalia Davis pick. I know we haven't got to that one yet. I didn't like Brock Purdy pick. I thought that was a wasted on a camp arm. And, you know, that's one of the things, obviously I don't have to wrap myself out every single time I bring up Brock Purdy, but I'm going to, like I was 100% wrong on that. And so I had a B+ draft, but you look at it overall now when Spencer Burford's your second best player you drafted, you're not going to be overwhelmed, please. Now, Spencer Burford's probably going to start next year. I know people don't want to hear that, but he's projected to start next year. You've got Aaron Banks, Feliciano, Ben Bartsch, all on expiring contracts. It looks like it's going to be the Pooney and
Pooney
Burford
for the
show.
Win, man. Pooney and
left guard
Banks, I'm saying.
Oh, you Pooney, bring back Banks?
Well, not 2025. 2025 is going to be an interesting thing. 2024, I think they're going to stick with Banks. And
yeah,
I'm hoping it's Banks and Pooney. I really do. Personally, I think it's – I hope it's Banks, Feliciano, Pooney as guard, center,
I'd
guard.
So happy. After the bye week, I'd buy into that. Give them some time. But I'm the biggest – I'm not on the Jake Brendel hype train. So I never have been.
No, me neither.
I appreciate what he does.
I've seen too many plays where we were this close to an 80-yard touchdown, and it was Jake Brendel was the difference. That's been my biggest thing, is that when we started to elevate as an offense at the end of 2022, Jake Brendel was able to start defeating some holds and grabs, and he started getting to the second level. I remember leading up to that point, there were so many plays. I remember I showed it with, I think it was Wayne. I brought him on for a show that year, and it was the Saints game. I remember it. We had a play. I think it was Elijah Mitchell was taking it a wide zone off the right side, and there was one guy who was between him and an 80-yard touchdown, because there was one. If he broke the first surface, there was nobody back there, and it would have been an 80-yard touchdown run, and it was one guy that Jake Brendel was just this close to not getting, and I was like, "Daggum!" And it happened like three times in that game.
It happens a lot. Goal line is watching goal line tape with Jake Brendel is just it will age you.
It's like a colonoscopy. Never mind.
Get you in
come
man.
Again.
but so with that, Spencer Burford there in round four, I think, and this is what's fascinating about, you know, looking at these drafts after multiple seasons. I think if we were regrading the you know, 2022 NFL draft in November of 2022, we're saying Spencer Burford is the gem of the draft. Mm-hmm.
They thought we had a starter for 10 years.
Yeah, like we're like, he's a 10-year starter there. He's a gem. Found him in the fourth round. They did it again. You know, yeah, the earlier round guys haven't worked out, but he's the gem out of this draft. That's who we thought in October of 2022, because we hadn't seen Brock Purdy yet. We'd only seen Brock Purdy come in and throw an interception against the Chiefs and fake a handoff the wrong way. So you know, that's what's so fascinating about this. Spencer Burford, you know, infamously missing his blocking assignment in the most crucial play of the Super Bowl. And then Feliciano having a little bit too many Long Island iced teas. Amen. and outing him on social media.
Who hasn't? It. Who has not had too many, you know, Long Island iced teas and outed the right guard in the Super Bowl? That's what I want to say. That's a smaller list than the other one. But I do want to say, like, about Spencer Burford, he hasn't developed like we hoped he has, but his tape is better than that play. Like,
it is.
And yeah. I know that, yeah, I get it. You piss the bed and the biggest whatever.
A missed assignment is different than, like, maybe your overall technique. You're
saying. And he was filling in. He was a backup. You got to step up for sure. But, like, Spencer Burford's better than that. He's better than that. He picked a bad time to have his worst game, no doubt about it.
You can say the same thing
for freaking our defensive tackle who we paid $20 million to that nobody ever talks about. That dude had nothing going that game anyway.
Yeah. I feel like with Burford, the light bulb hasn't fully gone on. It, like, he hasn't understood complex defensive schemes, and he's having to, being able to, you know, digest everything that's being thrown at him. I understand then why in 2022 they were rotating him with the other guard that they were rotating him with.
Gosh, he's been with us forever. He's playing for the Titans now. I see him. I see his face.
He was the Aaron Donald Brunskill. Yeah. It was Brunskill. They were rotating him his rookie year, and you started to see why I feel like there's this like disconnect in the overwhelm of information, and that's where he gets slow feet, because I've seen his feet, and I'm like, your feet are moving slow, but not every time. When he understands what's going on, those feet are a lot quicker. It's like he gets caught in moving around and doesn't quite get it. I think there's still potential there. After he has to really ascend from last season, in my opinion, he would have to have a massive bounce back year for me to feel better. Moving on to fifth round, Samuel Womack out of Toledo, a guy, again, if you were to regrade this draft coming off of preseason that year, you're saying the 49ers found their slot guy. They have found their guy in the slot. He's what, he had like three, four picks in preseason.
All skills and off the charts.
Looking fantastic. Then disappeared. I remember it was the same game, Panthers game. He disappeared after that Panthers game. Gave up a couple touchdowns. It was rough.
They pulled him from the nickel spot. They didn't let him play there anymore. Spot.
Yeah. And now Jimmy Ward, this was something that I think got overlooked, because Jimmy Ward talked about was when he went on a podcast with Richard Sherman. The big takeaway most people had was what he was saying about Jimmy and why he wasn't playing. in there, and then his interaction with Kyle Shanahan. But he talked about, he mentioned that the reason that they didn't like Womack in the slot, the 49ers coaches didn't, because he wasn't physical enough. And he said that was a huge part of why he wasn't playing. Because he's like, yeah, they didn't like the Womack kid at the slot. He wasn't tough enough. He wasn't physical enough. Couldn't get in there. And so they asked me to come into the slot. And I was like, hey, D'Amico, you know, like it was something he said really quickly. And I was like, oh, that's actually a lot bigger than.
But now they got him back in the slot. Now they're getting snaps there again.
Which is weird. I think he does better as an outside guy in a Terrell Brown sort of thing. My comp for him has been Terrell Brown. I think size wise, it makes sense. He's a little bit of an undersized corner. Yeah. From Texas, Texas guy.
But I will say he's the best special teamer we got. Like, I wish they treated him with the reverence they do George Odom, because I think he's better than George Odom special teams wise. And so the healthy scratch of the Super Bowl killed us. You put Daryl Luter Jr. in his spot, and we all know what happened. Like, Samuel Womack should be George Odom. Like, that's simple. But anyway, that's a whole nother soapbox I'll go off on.
So where would you say Samuel Womack is in his development? Would you be comfortable with him being our fourth defensive back or third defensive back?
No.
Yeah.
No, I do. I don't think so. Now, when we drafted him, yeah. But now you've got all these extra guys. Hindsight. You got Renardo. Yeah. You got, Daryl Luter Jr. You brought in Isaac Yiadom, who's probably going to start. You brought in Chase Lucas. I'm not putting him ahead of Chase Lucas in the slot either. So, like, he's special teams or he's not. That's just what
I think Womack is in a very similar position to Danny Gray. There's a potential for him
there. On the ball, yeah.
But he has got to push somebody else out. He's not getting – we're going to redshirt you this year. We're going to give you another year to develop. This is a make or break year for him to even get a spot. And if it is a spot, it's at the back of the depth chart. So he is on the outside, I think, looking in, or, you know, kind of has to get that inside straight to make the team and be a contributor. Round six, Nick Zakel was there from Fordham, offensive lineman, I think has been a big bag of didn't hit.
Terrible. Brock Purdy's got to share a room with somebody. Now he's married, so it's time to move on. Yeah. But, you know, Nick Zakel, they put him at center last year, and he got fired like on the second day. It was so bad. And now they've got him back at center, giving him a shot again. But with all the guys, like, you look at that center depth chart now, it's 5-6 deep. And I want to say shout out, I think it was Strawberry React said something about Drake Nugent in the chat. And I'm like, yeah, that is the Jake Brendel replacement plan 2020, you know, six. And I think that's the plan there is, look, let's build up somebody. Cause when you watch Drake Nugent, it's like, all right, the athleticism's not there, which is the opposite of Jake Brendel, but he gets the job done so consistently. So very similar player. They just win in different ways. And I would be very, very happy long-term, but I think it's going to take a couple years out. But yeah, for Zakel, I just don't see it. I know they love the intelligence. They liked him at guard, center, tackle, all those things. Guard, he ain't winning anything. Ben Bartsch kind of took his job.
Yeah.
And I think Ben Bartsch makes this roster. They just like him too much at too many positions. And so for Zakel, I don't see it.
So if we go to the next one, round six, very next, was just a little bit later. We had 3 6-round picks that year. Kalia Davis. Kalia Davis is an enigma wrapped in a mystery that, you know, when he's been on the field, has shown some flashes, but has so rarely been on the field.
Man, his first game back was so good. I was like, this is what they wanted. And then the second and third game, like whenever I grade film of linemen, I have like my little post-it notes. And every time they're on the ground, I just give a tally. Way back whenever I coach, we would do this as well. Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, if you're on the ground and it's not a pancake, like you get a tally. And man, the dude played like 15 snaps and had like 7 tallies. And I was like, man, this is Drake Jackson bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, flashes, and you started to say, okay, he needs reps. He needs reps on the field, but he's had so few reps even in practice time. And it, you know, you go, I just wonder how long are we going to sit here and say, but they have Kalia Davis.
Him versus Evan Anderson, one of my favorite training camp battles. Like, I think Evan Anderson might take his spot. I really, really do. They want somebody to be – when they talk about both those guys, whether it's Lynch, Shanahan, Chris Kucerik, all they say is DJ Jones on repeat. It's like a pull string dog. DJ Jones, DJ Jones, DJ Jones. For both those guys, they want that role. I don't think they're going to get two of them. I do think it's Kalia Davis versus Evan Anderson. You want to throw in Shaquille Brown, that's fine. But one of those two is going to make this roster. I just don't know who.
That's why going into the draft, I think it was McKinley Jackson was my draft crush. Because
I love that dude.
Because and my comp for him was DJ Jones. I was like, if you're looking to replace DJ Jones, that's your guy in this draft. But they didn't pick him, you know, because I'm not on the 49ers coaching staff. Kalia Davis, an enigma wrapped in a mystery. Is he somebody, you know, they let Armstead go.
Yeah.
But then they went and got Malik Collins and forgetting the guy from the Browns, Jordan Elliott. I remember it because Jordan Elliott I know on X does fantastic job with a lot of sports.
Yes, he does. He's amazing. And I got to say, I think I found my burner account. Strawberry Reacts. I think it's a testament to the Chiefs. She just put up Shaquille Brown might shake things up for Kalia Davis. I'm telling you, I think that might be my account. So whoever that is, you
it's John over here on the side.
I'm just saying. too many parallels.
The next pick after Kalia Davis, 49ers handed in two sheets of paper at the same time, basically. Defensive back Tariq Castro Fields. TCF out of Penn State.
He's starting in the NFL. He's starting for the Commanders. I went back and watched a bunch of the games. I had stepped back, kind of calmed down a little bit last week from content. And what's it called? I went back and watched all the highlight videos on YouTube, which are like 15 minutes a game or whatever, which I never really watch highlights. But I was like, I'm going to drink some beer and watch some cut-ups. And I watched the Commanders game, and sure enough, you see Tariq Castro Fields out there starting, and it's just like interesting.
Now he was only starting because they had a bajillion injuries to their safeties, right? They had like five safeties down, so he was something like the sixth safety on the team. I think they had signed him from our practice squad.
He's not good.
And it showed why he was a sixth round pick. I mean, it's in the sixth round. I can't give the 49ers too much, you know, flack for this.
Also, the only draft pick the last 2 years to not make the initial 53, or, you know, Cameron Law to it. So like the 49ers have kept everybody, but the only ones they didn't were Tariq Castro Fields. That's the only guy in two drafts.
Yeah. So, I mean, that says a lot. They tend to keep their guys. So if we were to recap, considering Trey Lance is as first round, you got Trey Lance, Drake Jackson, TDP, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford, Samuel Womack, Nick Zakel, Kalia Davis, Tariq Castro Fields. If that was the 49ers draft, what grade would you give?
F. F minus? Is that a thing?
G. How about a G?
That's right. G for go home. G for go home.
A T for try it again. Yeah. Like just like you're, you know, if it's in college and it's before your finals week, drop this class. Take it again next time, next semester. That is a terrible draft.
You don't want this on your transcript.
That is a terrible draft. I mean, good. Like that is the kind of draft that can literally sink a franchise.
It is.
It only takes one or two together to sink a franchise. So you're literally looking at like, where would the 49ers be if that was their draft?
And you know what? This is when they stopped drafting all those young guys. This was the end of the 20-year-old drafts. After this, it's like all 25-year-olds.
Yes. The last two drafts, if you look at the difference between 2020 and 2020 and 2022, you see those two drafts, they were looking at high potential, high athleticism, young guys who had high ceilings that they could develop. And it was like these drafts, they came back away from and said, nope, if you can't prove it in college, we don't draft you. If you haven't shown that you have the ability, we are not going off of potential anymore. We're done.
Except Isaac Garendo. Everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody else. Because he has that. He was home run ability.
That's right.
He loves that home run ability from his running backs. So that does bring us, though, that wasn't the end of that draft. At the very last pick of the draft. Everybody knows the story. Everybody loves him. Everybody knows he drives tractors. He saves people from coyotes. He is quarterback Brock Purdy.
QB1.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
John still would have given it a G because, as we know, he outed himself. He said he didn't like it.
Adam, just gotta be fair.
That's if we're in the DeLorean. We're not in the DeLorean. We're here.
We're now. Yeah, you can't say, well, you know, you get a G draft looking 2 years back, and then but then substitute, you know, the seventh rounder grade from 2 years ago. Because look, I was not on the Brock Purdy train. I remember, John, you were doing a live show, and I remember I was watching film. I think it was after the Chiefs loss, and I was watching film and doing my cut-ups and things, and a lot of times you would go at a time when I was editing, and so I had my phone up, like, I had one ear out from doing all my editing, and I had your phone, or my phone set up with your channel on. You were doing an episode, and I had you on there, and you were going through like some of the things after the game. And I remember you saying, like, you know, Trey Lance is out for the season. What happens if Jimmy G goes down? You know, because people were like, you know, we're not having some good things about Jimmy G, especially after that Chiefs game. You're like, what is our best chance if Jimmy G goes down? Like, this is not looking good for the 49ers. And I remember I commented in there, and you popped it up because I said, it sounds pretty scary to me. Because I was like, if Brock Purdy's put in there seventh, the last pick in the draft, you kidding me? The 49ers are screwed. Like, Jimmy G is our last hope right now. That was how I was feeling as at
and that was
time.
The Chiefs game. That's where Brock did the turn the wrong way hand
right.
Off. You remember?
And then threw a pick in the end zone. Yeah. And we were, I mean, it was like we're all coming off that, like, look, Jimmy G did not have a good game. He had a lot of Jimmy G moments. But at that point, we were like, it's either him or Brock Purdy. And I was not feeling good about Brock Purdy. You were not feeling good about Brock Purdy. But then he came in, and it was, I remember, even after that Dolphins game that he came in, after the game, I was like, yeah, we won. I don't know, though. I feel like that just hurt our draft stock for next year, really. That was like how I was feeling. Like, this season's done, and all we did was now probably get dropped five slots in the draft. And then I watched the film, and I was like, wait a minute. This guy's got a processor. I remember the sequence. It's kind of like where were you on 9/11? I remember the sequence that I saw of Brock Purdy. We ran, it was a spot concept, four strong, four on one side. Brandon Ayuk isolated. We ran the same play three times, and he went to three different receivers because the defense played three different defenses. That was the moment. Like, everybody, for them, it was like the moment that he hit George Kittle down the seam. That was a great moment. That was like, that told me he's got toughness. What told me he had the processor was that sequence of three plays in a row where we ran the same play, and the defense ran three different defenses, and it was against Vic Fangio. And, you know, Vic knows what he's doing.
He didn't hold back that game either. He
didn't.
Blitzed.
Oh my gosh, he was coming at him. He was like,
I'm gonna get him. Yeah. And
it was like, or excuse me, it wasn't Vic Fangio. It was
before him.
I'm trying to remember who was there.
It's Brian Flores.
Yes, it was Brian Flores because he had all these crazy blitzes. No, Brian Flores was the head coach there, and then he moved on. It was I can't remember who it was. I'll look it up. It's an embarrassing moment. But I remember.
This is when I hate live shows because it's like, man, I could have made myself sound so much smarter.
Oh yeah,
Josh Boyer. It was Josh Boyer and Daryl Bevel. He was the quarterback's coach. I remember that. Now I remember.
Yeah, and so he was throwing a lot of weird zone blitzes at him, and I just remember, like, they were running 5-man coverage, 8-man coverage, 7-man coverage. They were running. It wasn't just like, you know, they're running cover 3 or cover 2. These were things that Brock Purdy and to see him identify what was going on so fast. I was like, and especially having watched Trey Lance's tape, I was like, this is nowhere in the same ballpark of his ability to identify and process what he's seeing on the field and get the ball to the right guy. That was the moment I was like, okay, this will be a really interesting run to the end of the season to see what this guy can actually do. Because in that moment, it sure looked like he had a lightning fast processor and something that, you know, the hardest to find attribute as a quarterback. And it was so fun to see the rest of that season, him become the Brock Purdy that we've seen.
You know, I'm a diehard Longhorn fan. So Big 12 football, that's a thing of the past, not in the future anymore. But anyway, I digress. Come on, Alabama. Let's go. What I will say is I wasn't the biggest Brock Purdy guy. Uh-oh, we got Wayne Breezy in the house.
Wayne Breezy's in the house.
We're talking about Wayne, and I'm going to turn this to Wayne real quick. When was the moment that you realized Brock Purdy was him?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know why I can't be seen, but that's a great question.
Oh, we see you.
We see you.
Oh, you see me? Okay.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of games. I wasn't sold that Miami game, but I think after that Tampa game, when he took that hit, I was like, oh, this kid could be the real deal. And he kept it going. So, you know, Brock Purdy became, I think that's when I kind of like started really getting in on the Brock Purdy train, when I realized he can hold the game. He beat the GOAT that game. Remember that game? He beat the
tore
GOAT.
Him up.
So, yeah, it was that Tampa game is when I really like, okay, this could be something special.
You know, I'm just looking at my Pro Football Reference, which is my favorite website known to man. They do the approximated value for what the players reward their team with, the value. They come up with like a formula. Brock Purdy's number 2 for that entire draft. And you remember, he didn't even start the first half of the year. The number 1 player, Sauce Gardner, with a 26. And then number 2 is Brock Purdy with a 24. Now, Sauce Gardner's got 2 All-Pro years back-to-back. It might be the best corner in football. But that's like Brock Purdy sat out for half a year until he got his chance. And he's already number 2 on this list, which I think is incredible. But I know Wade's bouncing in and out. Hopefully we get him back. But
Wayne's on an island right now. He's on an island in the sun.
That's right.
Listening to Weezer, I guess. Yeah.
listening to Weezer. You know, it's fascinating how one pick, again, same thing we talked about George Kittle, Fred Warner in their drafts, can change an entire draft, can change the trajectory of the 49ers. Again, so knowing Brock Purdy's your pick, how do you then grade this draft?
My initial thought is like, okay, A- territory, but I don't even think it could get there. You got your quarterback. Like, I'm going to say B+. I'm going to say, Adam, I was correct, but for the wrong reasons.
Yes. I mean, it's hard not to give it an A, judging by the position
you get
being the most important in the game of football. So,
yeah.
Breezy, wouldn't you say we're talking about the 2022 draft, man, and we know that draft is bad other than Brock Purdy, but knowing that Brock Purdy plays the most important position in football, we were just discussing, does it make that draft an A just off of Brock Purdy? Yes or no?
Yeah, I think you have to make it an A. I mean, the 49ers, they nailed that position. I mean, they nailed that spot, that selection. They got a quarterback. You know, it's tough to say that Brock Purdy, for a lot of people, it's tough to say that Brock Purdy is the best player from that draft class. But I heard you guys talking about Sauce. They got, you know, Garrett Wilson out of that draft. There's some great players in that draft, but quarterback supersedes all that, like all the positions. So I don't care how great you are. If you're a quarterback and you become great, I think you move to the top of the list. So I think, you know, we failed on a lot of other quarterbacks in that class, but I think Brock Purdy and the Niners hitting on Brock Purdy gives them that A grade, you know, for that draft. Now that you, you know, hindsight, looking back on him.
And, you know, one more thing I want to add. Not one quarterback from this draft besides Brock Purdy starting. Not one. Every single one. Listen to these names. Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Bailey Zapp, Sam Howell, Chris Oladokun, Skylar Thompson, Brock Purdy. Like, without Brock, that's the worst quarterback draft of all time.
It's terrible. What I also love is that the way that Adam or that Wayne's island coverage is, he sounds just like Kevin Hart. It's ooh, it's like we have
it's a little high pitch, Wayne.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
First of all, he sounds let me tell you
just
something,
like Cam, Kevin Hart.
Let me tell you something.
First of all,
hey man.
Hey. That's awesome.
Hey, with that, guys, I actually have to leave you because I have an appointment. You guys definitely keep it rolling. Keep the algorithm going. Remember, hashtag JD49. John and Breezy, before I get out of here, make sure you let everyone know, too. Let's give another call to action. Let everyone know where they can find you. And I am getting out of here. I'll catch the rest of the replay, and we'll talk soon. But guys, keep it going. Breezy, you start. Where can everybody find you?
Hey man, it's just at the Wayne Breezy everywhere on social media. I keep it simple, stupid. I learned that back in the third grade. At the Wayne Breezy.
That's what's up. And 49ers Rush right here. We'll keep it going. Now, man, I gotta ask you, Johnny, what's the plan here? Are we rolling, baby?
I think we can keep rolling. I think we'll wrap up the 2023 draft pretty quick, okay. Just because I think what we've seen after all of these is how much time it really does take to actually grade these guys. I think, you know, we're seeing 2022, like we said, if it's October, we're looking at Samuel Womack and Spencer Burford. We're really high on those guys. We think that they've found gems there. We're believing in Trey Lance as, you know, as a guy that just needs to get on the field, and everybody else we're not so sure about. And then now looking at this, we're going, okay, you know, everybody on this draft pick is a big bag of didn't hit, except for we got the most important position in football figured out with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, and I love Wayne's point there that, you know, you look at what teams value that quarterback, finding that quarterback at. That the 49ers, three first-round picks. You know, you have Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick in the draft. You have, you know, what has been the draft capital that teams have given up, it, not just for Trey Lance, but other quarterbacks, of drafting up to get their guys that they believe. Look what the Falcons did to get a guy that they think might be a guy 3 years down the road to take over for Kirk Cousins. They freaking spent the eighth overall pick in the draft when they just signed a guy to a $100 million guaranteed contract. That teams invest so much into their quarterback position. So finding that at any point in the draft, I think you get your franchise quarterback at any point in the draft, you are happy with that draft. You know, yes, every other pick was a whiff, but you found your quarterback. That gives you, I think, a minimum of a B+. When you get,
yeah, I think I want to adjust it. Wayne, I got to listen to Wayne. He's my alter ego, and, you know, I don't listen enough. I got to bump it to an A-. Yeah, I think B+. I got to listen to Wayne.
I mean, I think when you look back at that draft class, it's, you know, grading it now. I mean, even grading it then, you might have graded it high, but I think they're in that B+ to the A- range. You know, Brock Purdy definitely helped, you know, elevate the 49ers in their draft process because they actually hit on the most, you know, the most important position in football. Some of the other guys you named, though, you know, it's tough, man, for those guys to come in here and crack this roster when you've got positions already filled. And so they just got to wait their line. So it's kind of hard to see if they develop when you look back at some of the other guys that were drafted in that draft class. And this might be a year for it. So we'll see. Like, you know what I mean? But I think the 49ers pretty much, when they draft, they have that ability to just draft the best player at the position that they see fit, that they're not really ready to play right now. So we're going to get a chance to see how some of those draft selections panned out, especially if they made the team you know, for the past couple of seasons. Now, if they let go of those players, that's another conversation. But I'm in the A-minus range, man. I think the 49ers, I'm very lean on the way I grade. I grade on promise, and I think the 49ers, that draft class is going to give us some promise, and we'll see that very shortly.
Yeah, I think it's very, very true. You know, no one else, even if no one else comes out of this draft, and there's still potential for that to happen, you have an A draft class. I'm going to call an audible there, John. I think we will do 2023 a different day when Wayne is not on the island.
You got to have all the three amigos, man.
We have to have the three amigos. So I'll message you guys right after this. We'll get a date on the calendar of when we will do the 2023. And I think what we'll do with 2023 is looking at that is look at it. What do we think of their rookie year? And then who needs to make the biggest jump off of this list? So, who is the guy that you think will be the biggest value add if they take a big jump? Is that a Cam Law too? Is it a Jair Brown? Is it Jake Moody? Is it Robert Beal? Is it D Winters, Braden Willis, Ronnie Bell, Jalen Graham? Who is it that you think?
A lot of dart throws.
What is best for the 49ers, you know, for one of these guys to take a huge step? You know, is if one of these guys takes a huge step, do we suddenly are hosting a sixth Lombardi? That kind of thing. But guys, Wayne and John, thank you so much for jumping in. I know, Wayne, you came in even at the end, making it happen. Appreciate you guys. Chat, you guys are awesome. As always, everybody watching the channel and tuning in, stick with us. We are going to be back at some point here in the future. We'll let you know with these guys breaking down the 2023 draft and what we think about that. And in hindsight, you guys are awesome. Some of the best 49ers content creators on the planet. Not even in the United States, not in California, on the planet, on planet Earth. I will even say, even in our solar system, I don't think there's a better content creator. There's a better group of content creators in our solar system or even the galaxy. I'm saying it. It's getting the universe. There we go. We had to go there.
I was waiting for the U word. U word.
Never mind. I was about to go on a bad tangent there. You know, it's
good job, thing. Johnny.
It's when you have this, like, you have to have a filter sometimes. I'm like, all right, I'm not going.
I saw the gerbil running. I saw it.
The gerbil was about to come off the wheel, man. It was just about to crash and be flipping around.
He was about to go into Captain America 2025. I was ready for that. I was ready for the universe to kick in. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Mr. John and Wayne, greatest Western star ever. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in. For everybody else, stay safe, stay healthy, and go Niners.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.